Let us pray. Lord, speak to us the way we will understand you better, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please sit down. Last week, we looked at the uniqueness of Christ, and a lot of comparison were made. And from the Bible, we proved that there is something peculiar about the faith we hold, which is anchored in Christ Himself. And today's gospel, Jesus revealed His glory. And His disciples put their trust in Him. From that very gospel we read, the Gospel of John, chapter 2, from verses 1 to 11. And the 11b part of this made this clear. It was all about a story concerning a particular wedding in Cana of Galilee. Jesus and His disciples were invited, and His mom as well was there, Mary. So it got to a point where we have heard it from the whole our gospel reading this morning, but it got to a point when they ran short of wine, and the mom called him to do something to save the people from shame, from embarrassment. Though Jesus commented, "This is not yet my time," but He went forth to do the miracle of turning water into wine. Sorry. It's being recorded here, 6 earthen jars, one of which will contain 20 to 30 gallons of water. And the Bible made clear what that earthen jar was used for. The Jewish traditional cleansing, that's purification. But that's not our discussion today. We are going to look at the elements in that very miracle He did. One, water was turned into wine of enormous quantity, beyond what any human being can imagine. You multiply 6 gallons by 30. And another thing noted in that story, the previous wine was in nowhere close to the latter wine that Jesus made. What am I trying to say? The wine was of a very good taste compared to the very first one they were drinking before it got finished. The master of the banquet, when he tasted the wine, had to comment on that. How did this happen? Just under a very simple command. It's not even a command. Asking him, fill all the jars you have here, and then go and draw forth. And the water turned to wine. He thus revealed His glory. What is the glory of God? Is another question. What was that glory He revealed? It is quite difficult to describe or explain what the glory of God is. But I will, in my own words, from what I drew from the text, try to project to an extent what the glory of God is. I will say that it's infinite beauty and greatness of God, his manifold perfection, manifestation of his character, something that is unique and peculiar about God, something that distinguishes him from every other being. So Jesus, we saw last week, was unique, is unique in a sense. And today he's trying to reveal his uniqueness through a particular manifestation, doing a miracle that no being can do if not God. We heard about Muhammad, Buddha, and every other religion, what they stand for and what they can do. We have never heard about such a miracle recorded in the history of their religion. So, this is my own explanation of God's glory. And if you look at Psalm 19 verse 1, it talks about the glory of the Lord being exhibited in the heavenlies. The sky, the moon, the expression of the glory of God. That will give us an idea of what the glory of God is like. Something that is unique. Glory of God goes hand in hand with his holiness, his perfection. So when you want to think of his glory, you think of his holiness. No one is holy except God. So some of those things that only him can do is what reveals his glory. And what was the effect of this glory being revealed? His disciples, who had been following him perhaps, believed in him, put their trust in him. In other words, their faith were strengthened. Sorry, at times I miss it. I think it's faith. Their faith was strengthened. They build in more trust in him. They identify him more as the Son of God. Have you experienced God's glory before? Of course, we experience the glory of God every day. Just like that man, the celebrant, at the last minute he never knew what to do. Jesus manifested his glory. I'll just take us to a little story. When I was critically sick and nothing could be identified, it was a strong stomach ache. I went to all the hospitals in Italy. They couldn't find anything. I went through all the tests. They were unable to find anything. And I was dying. They continued to take my blood every time. I wouldn't know whether they are using it for blood donation. And I say, every time I come here, you withdraw and draw and draw. What is the problem? They say, practically, we can't see anything happening to you. And it got to a point. It was only the hand of God that delivered me from that very sickness. And I saw his glory in that situation. I knew the hospitals and the doctors were unable to do anything. It was proven. And I was dying. I was machiating. But when God lifted his hands, probably when the church were praying for me, the glory of God was revealed. And what did that do in my life? I can always, even instantly, I can always give in references. Instantly, my strength, my faith was strengthened. I grew more and more in trusting God. And even until today, I can still watch back and say, well, he is God. He healed me. And I will always trust in him. When every other thing, when there's a way one commentary puts it. That commentary says, in our limitation is God's opportunity. When we are powerless, when we have done everything we could, God then can come in, so that we will identify that it is only the hand of God that has done this. And I believe it might be the same with you. You must have been seeing the glory of God every day in your life. But it takes an eyes that identifies God to know that this is the hand of God. Just like the disciples. Because you can't still be seeing it, and you might be attributing it to something else. But when your eyes is open, just like the disciples who had been with him, instantly they identified there is something unique about this man. Though we've been following him, but we have seen today there is something special about him. Only somebody with a unique personality can do this miracle. We have every reason to trust in him. As I said, God's miracle in a practical sense is visible every day in our lives. Of course, if we can't identify any, that you went to bed yesterday and you slept and you woke up, it's the revelation of the grace of God, which is the same thing as his glory. So it is enough reason to build our faith in him, just like the disciples did. Last week, we were drawn to Nathanael in that very John Gospel chapter 1 verse 49. It talks about the same thing. When Jesus revealed himself to Nathanael in a particular experience, I saw you under that fig tree. Nathanael instantly clicked in. You are the Messiah, the Son of God. No one could have been able to know this, if not one, empowered by the Holy Spirit. So, in our lives, we can always see more of the experiences like Nathanael did. What did that make in his life? It made him to identify that Jesus is the Son of God. Are we still in doubt on whom we are trusting in? Are we still not sure that he is the Son of God? Look at the heavenlies. Look at the beauty of creation. Look at his grace and his love upon your life. It is evident that he is the Son of God. It is evident that he is the one worthy to be followed. It is evident that he is the one worthy to be trusted, worthy to have faith in. Whenever we tend to miss it, reflect deep in your life. Identify the hand of God at some point in your life and stand firm and continue to trust him just as the disciples did. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you because you continue to reveal yourself to men, even today, as you did in the Bible days. If we go through the scriptures, we can count numbers and numbers of what you did in the gospel to prove yourself and to draw men unto yourself. Father, we just pray that you will remind us. Give us reason. Draw our hearts to those events you have always triumphed in our life that prove that you are God and that only you can do that. And then stir in us that faith to continue to trust in you as we journey in this life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.